Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we come to the end of our series of sermons for Advent under the theme of homecoming as we prepare to celebrate our Christmas theme, which is home for Christmas based on John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and made his home among us. And the theme for today's sermon is the presence for every home. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as you were present with Mary and Elizabeth in Elizabeth's home, so be present with us this day as we meditate on your word and bless our hearing of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of you in the coming days, coming week, will spend time visiting with family and friends, or perhaps having family and friends come and visit with you for various Christmas celebrations. Now, some of you will be playing the part of hosts, welcoming others into your homes. And if you're doing that, probably as I talk, you're still thinking about the 100 things you have to do to get ready for having guests come and be with you. Others will be the guests this time around and will be planning, preparing to enjoy the hospitality of others. But that can have its challenges too, getting ready, packing up, traveling, managing time, expectations, sometimes being in multiple places on the same day. That's not easy either. It's a bit like being a sports team without the home ground advantage. Christmas is a time of year when we visit, and get together with family and friends. And for those of you who are able to do so or have the opportunity to do so, it can be a time of great blessing. Today's text describes a meeting, a visit between relatives, between family members. In fact, it's usually referred to as the visitation. When Mary, discovering that she was pregnant with Jesus, goes to the hill country of Judea to visit the home of Zechariah and Elizabeth, her cousin. Elizabeth is already pregnant with little John the Baptist at this point. And what we get then is the meeting, the greeting that happens as Mary enters their home. It's a meeting and a greeting that's full of great joy, a real outpouring of joy and emotion and gladness and gratitude and blessing. And that's what I want to talk to you about today is the blessing. The blessing for the host, the blessing for the guest, and the blessing for the whole home as it welcomes Jesus into it. Blessing for the host, blessing for the guest, and blessing for the home that welcomes him. So let's think firstly about the hosts. Zechariah and Elizabeth and a little miniature John the Baptist. 6 months along, they say that means he's about the size of a mango. Everyone compares babies to fruit these days, I'm not sure why. But they say he's about the size of a mango at 6 months along. Little miniature John the Baptist there inside his mother Elizabeth. Now, I want you to think a bit about the challenges of hosting and the challenge for this couple in hosting Mary coming to stay with them. Elizabeth and Zechariah aren't spring chickens by this point, right? In fact, it says in Luke they're well along in years. Elizabeth had conceived later in life, and although she's been able to conceive, now Zechariah is unable to talk, if you remember the story. He didn't believe the angel's message. He didn't believe that God was capable of giving them a child, and so God said, you won't be able to speak until this child comes along. So you can kind of imagine this scene and some of the challenges that would have thrown up as Mary comes to visit. All of that, the challenges, which aren't really explicit in the text, but we can sort of imagine it there in the background, seems to pale in significance to the great joy they experience once Mary actually arrives and once she's actually with them, and the good news that she brings to them. We read this, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And later she says, why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As a true host, what Elizabeth does is to put aside her own challenges, her own distractions, and to simply rejoice in the fact that Mary has come to be with her, that she is glad, she is honored to be in Mary's presence as Mary enters her home. And we read that John the Baptist too leaps in her womb. So Elizabeth is excited and John is excited, and Zechariah, we don't know because he can't talk, but we assume he's excited as well at the presence of these people in his home. Elizabeth already then calls Mary the mother of my Lord. Why am I so favored, so honored that the mother of my Lord should come to be with me? Elizabeth recognizes by the power of the Holy Spirit the miracle of what's going on here, the miracle of what's happening and what's now entered her home. That God hasn't just entered the world, but he's entered the womb. He's become small, tiny, vulnerable. The infinite has become finite. The invulnerable has become vulnerable. The immortal has become mortal. The supernatural has become natural. The creator of the world has entered his creation. This is an incredible thing, a miraculous thing. And Elizabeth recognizes that miracle in her midst. That this is, in fact, the visit to end all visits, the visit of God on earth. You know, we get so distracted by the externals at Christmas time, don't we? By the presents and the preparations and the food and the drink and what it means to be a good host or to be a good guest. Elizabeth draws our attention to the internals, her joy inside her at Mary's child inside her. And there's this great moment of rejoicing and gladness. Being a good host isn't easy. Do you know how long Mary stayed with Zechariah and Elizabeth? It was 3 months. Do you know how long your guests are planning to stay with you after Christmas? You better find out. Might be longer than you thought. They think Mary was there 3 months right up until the birth of John the Baptist, and maybe she was even there for that as well. No doubt this time they spent together was a time of great joy and a great gladness and great blessing for all involved. So what about Mary? What about seeing things from the perspective of the guest? She had her challenges too. Young Mary, to get there to the home of Zechariah and Elizabeth in Judea, it was about 130 k's from where she lived, so quite a travel by foot. And I wonder what was going through her mind as she was on the way. What if they don't accept me? You know, what if they don't believe me? What if they don't really want me to stay? What if they don't make me feel at home there? You know, what if it's not comfortable? What if it's not joyful? Often the anticipation of a visit, the uncertainty of a visit and what's going to happen when we arrive can be the hardest part. I think for a lot of people, Christmas celebrations are like that. The anticipation can be the hardest part, the getting ready or the concern or the worry about what might happen when these members of the family are together or whatever it might be. Once in the presence of her kinsfolk, once Mary does arrive at her destination, all of that seems to subside very quickly. Elizabeth's first words to her are words of welcome and words of blessing. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. And later on, Mary sings the same thing. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. Blessed. What does it mean to be blessed? To be blessed means to be a recipient of God's goodness, a recipient of God's grace, to receive something good from God, basically. The word blessing literally means a good word, a good word. So it's to have a good word spoken over you or about you. That's what a blessing is. When I was doing my vicarage as part of my seminary studies, it's like a 9-month placement that you do. Towards the end of your studies, I was at St. John's Dernancourt, and my vicar father, my mentor, was Pastor Keith McNichol. Some of you would know Keith. And every few weeks, when it was my turn to preach, what I'd have to do is run my sermon by Pastor Keith. And we'd sit down together and we'd talk about it. And usually he would have a few suggestions and a few ideas for me, and that was really helpful. A bit of wisdom to impart to me. Every now and then, when he was just happy with it and didn't have too much to say, he would sit there listening. He would stare at the floor for a while. I don't know why. That's how he would do it. And he would look up and he would say, "Yep, that's a good word." And then he'd walk out. And I'd be left sitting there saying, "You know, is that it? Is that all you got for me?" Give me something, some suggestions, some ideas, some wisdom. But no, that's a good word, and then he'd be off. Over time, I started to really appreciate that word, that he thought it was a good word. Because what it meant to me, I eventually realized, is that I had his blessing. I had his blessing to preach that word to his congregation because he thought it would be a good word, a word for them to hear that could bring God's blessing to them. So I started to really appreciate his comment, that's a good word, and then off he goes. It's a blessing he gave to me to pass on to the people there. So when Elizabeth blesses Mary and when Elizabeth describes Mary as being blessed, what she's saying to her is, I believe God has spoken a good word to you, Mary, and that he's begun a good work inside of you, Mary, and that he's entrusting something good to you, Mary. So when Elizabeth hears this news, you know, the angel's message and Joseph's faithfulness and Mary's willingness and Jesus' presence, it all sounds to her like a good word. A good work, something to be thankful for, something to rejoice about, something to be happy about. And that's why she speaks in terms of blessings. What Elizabeth recognizes is that Jesus there in the womb, he's not just any child. He is the source of blessing, the origin of blessing. The one who blesses us has come now to be right here among us. The very good word of God has come into our world. Blessed is the child you will bear, she says. God's good word has entered our world, and it is a good word to overcome the many bad words of our world. God's good word of forgiveness, God's good word of hope, God's good word of healing has entered our world and speaks to our bad words of conflict and hurt and anger and gossip. And all these sorts of words that too often cross our lips and enter into our ears and affect us far more deeply than I think we often realize they do. God comes to us with a good word. He says, I've got something good for you to hear, something good for you to read, something good for you to grasp, something good to enter your ears. It is a word of grace and mercy and peace and healing. A good word to overcome the many bad words of your world. So there's blessing in this story. There's blessing for the host, and there's blessing for the guests, and there's blessing for the whole home as it welcomes Jesus. Elizabeth says, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. You get this great little image of John the Baptist, you know, still inside his mother's womb, leaping for joy at the presence of his cousin or second cousin, Jesus. My boys have a cousin who's like that, and every time they go to see him, he leaps for joy and jumps and bounces around the house, and I'm glad it's their house and not ours usually, because it's dangerous, but it's exciting for him to see his cousins. You know, and he leaps for joy. And I imagine John like that in kind of miniature form, just overjoyed at the presence of his cousin, you know, overjoyed at the presence of his little relative. But of course, also he says later, the one who comes after me ranks ahead of me. This one who follows me is actually before me, is actually my Lord as well. John's that great pointer to who Jesus is. Elizabeth announces one last blessing over Mary, and this time it is for her faith, that blessed is the one who has believed, that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. You know, Mary is this beautiful image of faithfulness. May it be to me as the Lord has said. You know, she just trusts and she just accepts that what God has promised will come to fruition for her and within her. As far as Elizabeth is concerned, this is the greatest blessing. This is the most wonderful blessing we can have, the blessing of this simple, receptive faith in our lives. It's maybe not what we often think about as blessings. You know, it's not material wealth. Mary probably had very little of that. And it's not worldly success. and you know, popularity or fame or anything like that. It's not even physical safety and security. It's not prosperity. It's not any of those things that we sometimes associate with being blessed. And yet Elizabeth says, "You are blessed, Mary, because you have believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to you." This is the joyful, beautiful Mary and Elizabeth-like faith that we are called to at the coming of our Lord into our midst. And to see that as a good word and a good work from God himself. So what will fill your homes this Christmas? People, perhaps, maybe for even longer than you expected. Presents, perhaps. Good food, good drink. You know, the smell of ham and honey biscuits and all that good stuff. It's good stuff, right? But it's not the only stuff. And as Christian people, we have a responsibility and a privilege to hold before ourselves and before our hosts and before our guests and within our whole homes the good news and the good word that Christ has come into our midst and is there among us and is the reason we celebrate. God bless you as you do that this Christmas. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that through your servant Mary, you have entered our world and you have entered our homes and you have entered our lives. We pray that you bless us this Christmas as we keep that reality front and center as Mary and Elizabeth did. That as we gather with our friends or family or whatever we will be doing in these days, that we most importantly gather with you. And we receive the good news of the birth of your Son for us. In his name we pray. Amen.